This is Midge speaking, and I listen to Lou Manfredini every Saturday morning.
Hello, Midge. This is a brand new day. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 7:12 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Oh my gosh, did our paint, my paint saint, do such a nice job on the vibe score last week? Lindsay gave me those that information, and it got an 81. So much so, and we got the nicest letter from the owner, or an email from the owner, about how they got this huge response. And oh my gosh, your listeners, they bought so many of these My Paint Saints. We're trying to keep up. It's amazing. We're going to, a brand new feature that I'm bringing to the Today Show, which I've never done before, is I'm going to do the Noodaloo 2 on the Today Show on Tuesday.
I love it. That's a great idea.
I know. And so, you know, I typically do an Ask Lou segment, which I like to do on the but good morning, by the way, Lindsay. Good morning, Veronica Carter.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to know. We need a screw. Tell Ferguson we need a screwdriver.
Oh, okay.
This is a little loose here. I should have one with me, but I'm dressed.
Maybe you could bring it over, or at least some glue or something.
You need something?
Well, the button pops off all the time for the mic.
All this stuff is, look at this. The microphone is just kind of dangling. It's like a little loosey-goosey thing. I need two standard. It has two screws, so I need two flathead screwdrivers to do that. I think he's got it. So anyway, good morning to all. What was I just talking about?
You're talking about the Noodaloo 2's coming to the Today Show.
The Noodaloo 2's coming to the Today Show. So on the fourth hour of the Today Show, so probably 10:30 on Tuesday with Kathy Lee and Hoda, we're going to do a bunch of the Noodaloo 2's that we featured on the radio of people that we like, and a lot that are small, you know, individual inventors, and we're going to do them on there. So what do we have? The My Paint Saint, which is brand new.
My Paint Saint.
The Sweep OVAC.
Oh, yeah, where you sweep the...
The Nordic plow.
Shovel, the shovel.
A big pushing shovel that they can't sell when to save their life in Chicago because it doesn't snow.
Snap Power, which you love that, too.
I love the Snap Power. Remember that? That's the LED light.
Night light.
Well, it's like it's an outlet cover or a switch cover that has a built-in LED light, which is awesome.
Guardian Angel.
The Guardian Angel, which is a thing you put over your outlet as well, that if a child or someone touches it, it kills the power, which I think is great. And they didn't want to do the coffee box.
They did not.
They completely missed the point on the coffee box. Remember the Ox box?
You
the
love
heavy?
Yes.
I love it. And they were like, well, we wanted to keep it around home stuff. I go, well, this is kind of home stuff, you know, but
yeah,
anyway, they didn't get it.
Site. And you're missing your favorite one. Well, I mean, they're all your faves, but this is one you're so excited about.
Oh, my God, the soap dish.
The soap seat. Who could forget the soap seat?
You know what worries me about the soap seat?
What?
I don't know that Kathy Lee Gifford's going to be as excited about that as me. I need to be able to...
I would be on her side. I mean, I love it.
Really?
But I just...
Okay, so here's the thing.
I get it.
Here's
I just
the thing.
Don't...
We had... Veronica, do you wash your face?
Oh, every month or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, good, good. It's funny. It looks very clean. Do you have a bar of soap that you wash your face with, or do you use I know women a lot use a cleanser. How do you wash your face?
I just do it in the shower. But
yeah.
But when you go to bed, what do you do when you go to bed? You don't wash your face?
No.
Really? Do you wash your face when you go to bed?
I usually wash it, as she said, in the shower. And then before I go to bed, I put cream on.
A night cream, Veronica?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a whole theory about washing your face that you're only supposed to do it once a day.
Well, that would be me.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky.
Yeah. Now, I shower in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I obviously wash my face in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, Veronica, this I'm sure happens to you, too. I always forget if I wash my hair or not. When it's early in the morning?
Yeah,
does that ever
happen
to you?
Not really. I think women
don't you have a routine? It's very funny. You know, my friend Lynn Bramer, who is the morning guy on XRT, he does this feature called Lynn's Bin, these funny little features where he takes a topic. You've heard Lynn's Bin before, right? And, well, sure, you were at BBM. They're all
I used to fill in and work with Lynn.
Okay, Lynn's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he once did a Lin's bin on the fact that when you're in the shower early in the morning, sometimes you forget, did I wash my hair or not?
Yeah.
That's never happened to you?
We put conditioner on and all those kinds of things.
So it's a little more involved. Yeah, well, for a guy, I mean, a guy like me where I have four hairs on my head, you know, you do it real quick. And it's not like I can grab my hair and go, oh, yeah, it's clean.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I couldn't do that either, but I know. I guess I have. I guess I've,
Did I wash my hair or not? You know, see, I shave in the shower. These are all little personal things. Mm-hmm. You are listening to Mr. Fix-It Show. But anyway, so getting back to the soap. So we have, I am a Dove soap user. We are Dove soap users. Does that surprise you?
No. I'm just...
I like the Dove.
I like the Dove.
But the Dove gets slimy in a soap
dish.
In particular, I think more so than other...
Like Dial.
Perhaps.
I don't know, dogs.
So we used to have this silver, not silver, but chrome soap dish, regular soap dish. And by Wednesday, you had to rinse it and you'd wash it out and then you'd put the soap back in. But then as it would ooze out, it would always look, it'd kind of sit in this puddle of mucky, soapy water.
And you never want to use it because it's sitting in muck.
Right.
Yeah.
And when the soap seat came out, you and I are walking through the housewares, it was like, it was like the sky opened up. It's a little soap dish, a lovely soap dish that has a little lip, like a tongue, that hangs over the sink.
Ah, here's so it what can I drip?
Well, it drips into the sink. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's never goopy.
Here's what I don't get about it, though. Because in my head, I have never used it. I understand what it is.
Oh, my God. I look at it in the morning and I smile every morning.
Wow.
It's because it's so smart.
Because what I think of it is, you use the Dove soap. You put it back in the seat.
Right.
And then the ooze oozes out the lip, the tongue, into the sink. And then I'm picturing a big sink that's just got like gross soap scum running down it.
Nope. Nothing.
Okay.
Now, my sink is white. In the master.
Yeah.
Okay, which most people, what color is your sink?
White.
Yeah.
But I still guess I think of soapy.
Well, do you, when you're washing, brushing your teeth or you're washing your face, do you ever rinse the sink out? You know, because, you know, when you're, especially with women, the hair will get in there and, right?
So you just. I wish my son did.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It is unbelievable. My daughters, it is like. How do you leave the toothpaste in the sink like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Did any make it onto the brush?
Exactly. did it just all go right there and just cakes on there?
Yeah.
It's like clueless.
That's kind of how I picture the soap.
It doesn't do that.
All right.
It's the greatest invention ever.
Since the soap on the rope, huh?
Right. It's really good.
Well, tell us more on Tuesday morning.
I will. NBC. Oh, my gosh. I had the best night last night. What did you do last night?
My husband came home after a week of traveling,
so
we
hung
out.
Oh, that was nice.
Yes.
Veronica, did you have a nice night last night?
No, I sat at the airport with my son.
Oh, right. That's right.
He had a delayed flight that was delayed. And I finally said, you know what? I got to go. I love you.
Goodbye. I love you.
Here's a book.
Here's $20. Go get some food. I got to go.
I even Instagrammed this last night. I got home, and she was going to book club. And I made myself a Manhattan, which was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I was at home all by myself, just with the dogs. My wife had book club. Max had a rehearsal. Mallory was at the Jesuit Cup, which is a basketball game between St. Ignatius and Loyola Academy. And there I am. So what did I do? I put in my Ken Burns World War II documentary on the war. Have you ever seen that documentary?
No.
Are you a history buff at all?
I love history, but I just, war, oh, it just.
It is so
I can't
good.
Do it.
Someone gave it to me years ago. I can't even remember how old that documentary is. And when I was cleaning up in the basement a couple weeks ago, I came across it. And I was like, oh, I got to rewatch this. And they're like, every CD, every disc is 2 hours.
Right.
And it's so good. I mean, I grew up with stories of World War II with my father and my Aunt Rose and my mother and my relatives, mostly in the European theater. But this covers four American cities and the view of the war from four American cities. It's amazing. It's so well done. There I am with the dogs, eating some pistachios.
Lovely.
Watching the war documentary. It was great. And I wanted to put the next one in, but they're 2 hours apiece. I'm like, I have to go to bed. It was really good. It was really good.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
You need a night like that.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Rita in Chicago. Hi, Rita. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you?
My question is, we have a boiler in the basement. It's a two-flat in the city with the hot water radiators. The second floor is just not getting enough heat.
Okay. And have we bled those?
Every year.
Okay, but every year when?
Before the season starts.
Okay.
And then we did it even later.
Okay. So the first thing I will say is it the entire second floor or certain rooms on the second floor?
It's almost across the whole apartment.
Okay. And I assume that the system has one thermostat.
Correct.
And that's on the first floor.
Correct.
Okay. So here's what we would do to do a test. Do you have tenants living up there, or is that who lives
yes.
up there? Okay.
Yes.
So here, what do you normally keep the radiators at?
72.
Okay. So let's try this. I mean, it's going to be a mild day, but for about 6 hours, I want you to turn the thermostat to 75 degrees. And I want you to ask the tenants if, in fact, that, well, no, it's much better now. It's great. It's great. My guess is what's happening, Rita, is that your thermostat's turning off sooner than they're getting the heat because they're on the two flat. They have the roof. So they're getting more, they have more cold air around them than you do on the first floor. The only way to solve this problem is to either zone the system, which it may or may not be possible based on how the piping is.
It's a very old building.
Right. So, you need a pump to pump, keep circulating the water up there longer than it's circulating for you. And a good boiler company could figure out if, in fact, that's possible. It may be possible where there'd be a separate pump and a separate thermostat. Now, doing that, it could increase your energy bills a little bit because it'll run more often than it does now. But
the only problem, the first floor gets too hot.
Correct. Right. So you're at 72 and you're really hot.
Correct.
Okay. So let's try this. If you go to the each individual radiator and turn the valves off, all the way off, and then turn them on just one turn, you could increase the flow on the second floor and reduce the flow on the first floor and play around with that, and that may help to adjust the system.
Thank you. And who really does that type of work in the city? I'm Southwest.
Yeah, you need a good boiler company that understands how to balance all this out. I mean, the HVAC companies, a lot of them do hot water heat. But Lindsay, the guy, boilerpros.net, is that right? Boilerpros.com. Rita, I tell you what, I'm going to get the phone number of that company, and you keep listening, and I'll give it out over the air, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, just keep listening, and we'll get you that information. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
I went to Menards.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up cashing in my padlock.
7:36 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN Chicago. I'm really very proud and excited to know that WGN Radio will be broadcasting from the Iowa caucuses Monday and Tuesday. I think it's a great move for us, and we can all be part of that conversation, which we all desperately need to be part of the conversation. Steve Cochran will be broadcasting from Iowa, I think Des Moines, Monday and Tuesday, as well as Rokan in the afternoon. So stay tuned for that, and please tune in because I think you're going to find it to be insightful. And the nice thing about radio as opposed to television, there's a little bit more time to have conversations. I know they're lining up guests to talk about this whole process, and We all need to be part of it, that's for sure. And now it's getting serious because we're in the year that it's actually going to happen. So good luck to us all. We need it. 7:37 in the morning, 312-981-7200. And this is Paulette in Oak Park. Hi, Paulette. You're on WGN.
Well, good morning, Lou. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, how can I help you?
I have a shower that I can't get hot enough. And I was reading about the point of use water heaters. They're about the size of a football.
Yep.
And you put it at that location.
Yep.
The only way I can get hot water, really hot water in my shower, is to turn the major water heater in the basement to all the way up.
Then okay, hold on. Okay, two things. I was talking about that Boiler Pros company for the lady that was calling earlier. That phone number is 888-450-2606. 888-450-2606. Now, Paulette, can you get hot water everywhere else?
Oh, yes.
Can you get hot water out of the vanity?
Yes.
Okay. You don't need to do any point of service or anything. Tell me about the shower valve. Is it a single lever shower valve?
Yes. So that... Well, you turn it on, and then another lever adjusts the temperature.
Okay. So, and how old is that valve?
It's probably 2 years old.
Okay.
I've had it replaced a couple of times.
Okay. So within that, there is it's an anti-scald system.
Mm-hmm.
There's an adjustment within that valve that can be adjusted so you can get hotter water.
Oh, inside.
Yes. You said you have a lever that adjusts the temperature?
Correct.
That handle comes off. Within there, there's a little gear, like a couple little plastic gears that allows that temperature to increase. It just needs to be adjusted by a plumber.
Oh, I have to have a plumber do that?
Well, how handy are you?
Well, I'm pretty handy.
Really? All right, Miss Fuller. Okay, Miss got a lot of confidence in yourself. All right, tell me who the manufacturer is.
Oh, God. Growy, I think.
Oh, I love Growy. Mm. So you have a valve that turns the water on.
Correct.
Then you have another valve that has, like, temperatures on it that you can turn to make it hotter or colder.
Yeah, it just says hot and cold, basically.
Okay, so that handle and the excussion comes off of the top.
Okay.
Or comes off. Then, without seeing it, but when you look inside there where the turn is and the stops, there should be like a little plastic gear. And you'll see as you turn the little nub by your hand, look at that. If I could just go a little further, it would be hotter. You're going to unclip the little gear that's holding that so that the hot water little spindle turns a little more.
Okay. And it's plastic.
Well, it should be.
Okay.
Again, without seeing the actual valve that you have, they're all a little bit different.
Sure.
But this is just an adjustment. That's all this is.
Do I need to shut the water off?
Nope.
I don't.
No, there's no water that comes out of that. You're not going to take the valve apart.
It
should all be underneath the excussion, the trim piece under there.
Oh, great.
You don't need to turn. You should be able to, when your water heater, for anybody, if your water heater is set on the arrow that tells you, set it here, that's 120 degree water. I promise you cannot stand in a shower with 120 degrees water.
Well, that's not getting up to the shower.
Right. So if you're getting hot water everywhere else, it's your shower valve that has to be adjusted.
Okay.
So you don't need to spend a lot of money on a point of service or anything like that. And if you take it apart and you just can't find it, then you just need a plumber to come out and say, I need someone to come out and adjust my valve. Now, the other thing you could do is if you're handy, Growy, their distributor is based here in Itasca.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And so I'm sure they have a technical department that you could talk to and they could walk you through the whole thing.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Right. That's it. Hot shower coming.
Do me a favor. Since you're so handy, Paulette, we're going to set you up with a Mr. Fix-It Lose Crew t-shirt. Courtesy of our friend.
With my hat.
Yeah, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsup. And it's created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. So will you hold on for me?
I will. Thank you, Lou.
You got it. Good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Michael in New Lenox. Michael, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
Lou, I have water that surges. I am on well and septic. I have a water softener and a tankless water heater. When you turn the water on, either the sink or the shower, it's like it's breathing. It surges high, surges low, surges high, surges low. And that's been going on probably for the past month.
All right. Well, on a well, so that it could be a couple of things. It could be a problem with your expansion tank, the pressure tank that you have, where the there's a bladder in there that helps keep that pressure consistent.
Uh-huh.
It's probably that. Or it could be a pump issue. So let's try this first. I want you to shut the main off and turn the pump off. You got all those, you know where all that is?
Yeah, it's accessibility to it, though. Go ahead.
Okay. Then I want you to drain the entire system down and flush every toilet. Open every valve, flush every toilet until nothing else comes out. And then shut everything off, turn the pump back on, turn the valve back on, and see if that does anything. If it doesn't, you need a well company to come out and inspect that pressure tank and or the pump. Do you get that serviced on a regular basis?
The tank, though.
Yeah. I bet it's the tank. They might be able to just replace the bladder, or they may have to replace the tank. How long have you lived in the house?
12 years.
Okay. And never had any service done on it?
No.
Yeah.
Never had a problem with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's mechanical, right? So, I mean, this is not an uncommon problem. But you try that first. You may get lucky that it, you know, drains some stuff out and adds, and but I bet it's a bladder problem with that tank.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning and being part of the Mr. Fix-It Show. 7:44 in the morning, quick break, and then it's our Noodaloo 2 that has everything to do with your fireplace and how it can be more comfortable when you're not using it. Time now for Noodaloo 2, 7:49 in the morning.
Are you an old goat?
I'm an old goat.
What was that delayed rim shot?
I didn't have the button on. That was a problem. Hi. So, did you mention our conversation prior to this Noodaloo 2?
No.
Okay. Lindsay sends me a lot of stuff. And we've worked together a long time. And so I would say that 90% of the time, she'll, but out of respect for people that send the stuff to her, she will not make a judgment on her own. She'll say, what do you think about this? And, you know, we'll email back and forth. Man, no, I don't really like it. No, I don't really like it. And so our Noodaloo 2 today, she was like, I'm not sure about this. I was like, I love it. And
full of surprises.
And you're like, really? Take a listen to this.
There's nothing more inviting than snuggling up next to a blazing fire during these cold winter months, right?
Oh, la, la.
However, did you know that unfortunately, a fireplace is probably the least efficient way to warm a house? When you stoke up a blazing fire in your fireplace, whether a wood-burning or gas-run fire, you need to open the fireplace damper, right? Opening the damper, which is in the fireplace flue, is similar to opening a window in a room. This week's Noodaloo 2 will reduce your heating and cooling costs and stop the cold fireplace drafts. It's from Fireplace Fashions by Beverly, or I like to call her Bev. Fireplace Fashion makes insulated magnetic fireplace covers. It's basically a big magnet for your fireplace. It's made of really thick insulated fabric with a magnetic border. You take the measurements yourself and then choose your fabric, which she has tons to choose from, and then she'll put it together for you. Whether you have a door or a screen in your fireplace, an arched fireplace, a wood burning, a gas, she makes them all and can work with whatever type you have. The covers are not fireproof though, so you must be sure all fires and embers are completely out before covering up the hole. Common sense. Beverly and her husband Gil started the business out of Maryland about 5 years ago, and it has taken off since. They use local stores and distributors with made in the USA products, which we love. Each cover goes for $96, but there are some on sale too, different patterns, so be sure to check those out too. You can find out more at fireplacefashion.com. I'll put all this information up and a picture on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page at WGNradio.com, also on his Facebook page, and also on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
Okay. Anybody that has a metal fireplace, like a metal box, knows exactly what the problem is, because even with the doors closed, the draft is unbelievable on those really cold days. This is essentially a blanket that goes over the top of that with magnets to cover it all up to seal it up. Smart idea. For $96, they should do a print that looks like a fire. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they should do one of those. You can do, you know how you can do the, you can get material that looks like a fire.
Yeah.
Or like a, you know, like when you do a birthday cake and it has your picture on it, you know, and then you eat your cheek or whatever. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about, right? So that's $99. But the black one that you brought, which is essentially like a heavy blanket with magnets around it, the price point should be $59 at the most. And then it could go on sale for $49. I think $99, just as my little, as a retailer, thinking about a retailer, that's a lot of money. But I'll pay extra for the one that looks like a fire. So now when it put it over the top, it looks like logs in a roaring fire. That's funny. Okay?
Yeah.
They don't offer that, right?
I did not see that on the website.
Yeah, I mean, I know they have, you know, paisley prints and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And you could even go the next step and you could have like a picture of your family. Or your dog nestled by the fire.
Oh,
those,
that's cute.
That'll sell all day at $99 because people, you know, they love that stuff.
Right.
But I think $99 for just the basic black or brown, whatever your decor is, they got to work on the price point. But this is super smart. If you cannot figure out how to stop the draft, baby, this is the way to go. It's up on our website. It's up on our Facebook page. By the way, the Paint Saint got a huge score on VibeScore, which is terrific. And tell me what you think about it. Curious to hear what you think about the price point, if it makes sense. And they make it in different sizes, correct?
Well, I mean, you are the one that you take the measurements.
You
yes.
take the measurements, and then they make it custom for you.
Right.
All right. So I guess, see, the thing here's the where they're going to get the price down. There are standard sizes that they could make, and they could crank these things out. I'm sure she's sitting at the Singer sewing machine, and sewing them away. But there's a 36-inch box, there's a 42-inch box, so they could come up with some sizes where then a retailer could buy a dozen of these and hang them or however they're merchandised. And then the custom sizes, sure, if it's a custom size, absolutely $99. Then if you want the custom size with your Labradoodle on the face of it, then that's an extra upcharge of whatever. You know, you send them an image and they put it on the, that would be cool. Enzo and Flo sitting there. Nestled by the fire. Pretty funny.
Woof, woof.
Flow. 7:55 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Rob in St. Charles. Rob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific. How can I help you?
Well, I have another water question. but basically, I have two 40-gallon water tanks I'm looking to replace. They're about 15 years old. And I was trying to weigh going tankless, or I do have a boiler that I have radiant heat.
Yeah.
And whether I should go tankless or get a tank that is heated by my high efficiency boiler.
Well, you certainly can do a storage tank on the side of that, and they can pipe and use that heat exchanger to heat that water, and then you just have one heat source, and then, you know, you would have this stored water. Now, how big is the house, Rob?
It's like total probably about 7,000 square feet.
Well, Rob, you single? I can hook you up. Got the big house in St. Charles?
No, I'm not.
All right. Never mind. Kidding. Here's the only downside to the storage tank. You got a pretty good size boiler that's going to fire up really fast to heat 50 gallons of water or 100 gallons of water, whatever you have. It's plausible. It's good. I think at this point, if you have two water tanks, I'd go to an on-demand system. And in particular, I'm a big proponent of these. I was just at the International Builders Show, and I spent some time in the Navion booth. Navion is a manufacturer of a stainless steel on-demand water heater that they've gotten the technology down where they use a 3/4-inch gas line, so you don't have to increase the gas line. They even offer recirculating pump options integrated into the unit itself. Now, that unit retails for about $1,700, you know, the bigger unit. And then you got to get it installed. Now, you're at two, if you got two tanks, what do you said, 240s?
240s.
Yeah. So if you were installing 240s and, you know, you had a licensed plumber out there, you'd probably spend at least a couple grand installing those. And this thing might cost you three to install.
Okay.
But you won't be doing anything for 20 years. And you'll have hot water constantly.
So Navion is
Navion is the manufacturer. Okay. And a good plumbing supply house will carry it. And they make different loads. So depending on how many people you're trying to service, you know, how many fixtures at one time, whatever. They have some units, you know, that'll do two to three fixtures simultaneously that are probably about $1,400 retail. So, you know, but if you've got more bathrooms, you've got if you have a large hot tub or, you know, jacuzzi tub or something like that that you have to fill, and then someone jumps in the shower, you just want to make sure that it's calculated properly for the type of draw you're going to have.
And does this have to go on an outside wall, or I know they used to have to be directly on an outside wall. Can they be inside?
No, because they're all piped with plastic now, plastic 2-inch piping. So, I mean, there is a limitation to how long the venting can be, but I think it's up to 20 feet.
Okay.
You know, so it direct vents right out the side of the house.
Okay. And can they tie into, like, where the boiler exits, or can they use that pipe?
No, they have to use their own dedicated exhaust.
Run.
But it's just a two-inch line that, you know, the guy comes out with a drill and drills a hole very clean. It'll look very nice. And check that one out, Navion. It's a good product.
Okay, great. Thanks much.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 7:59 in the morning. Don't go away.
You're listening to Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show. You know, I don't want to give away any secrets, but Lou told me he used to dance to this song on the job site back in the 80s. Yep, just him in his hard hat with a tool belt singing into his hammer. Now there is an image. Now back to that groovy, booty-shaking handyman, Lou Manfredini, on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
It was not the job site. Remember this song, Veronica? Veronica remembers this song.
I do.
I may have added a little inflation there.
I said,
liberty.
I used to dance to this song in 1983 when Lindsay was three.
Just
at the Snuggery.
Baby.
At the Snuggery.
Is that where you were the
I
bouncer?
I was a bouncer. Yes. This was a very popular song.
I like the job site better.
Me too. The image, in your head.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show that's going down the tubes is sponsored by Lindemann Chimney Company. 8:11 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Oh, that is funny. I can't remember the name of the... Who was it? Champagne?
Shannon?
No.
Wait, is that what this was called? I don't know.
Who sang
this?
Who
sings this?
Champagne?
I think I've blocked all that music out from then.
Come on. The drum machine that overtook the whole decade of the 80s, no one played a drum. It was all electronic. It was hilarious.
In the 80s, if you liked what was then the rock music, which was the heavy metal guys with way too much mascara.
Oh, all the hair bands
were
big. Yeah,
you could not like the opposite. It was a rule.
Right.
It was an absolute rule. You could not like the disco-y type of stuff if you liked the glam hair band guys.
Yeah, and I'm still, I'm still a huge fan. And so I was a kid of the 70s, and so those bands and that music is what I really, really enjoy.
I have to admit, I got into the 80s. I had huge hair. I wore way too much eyeliner. I am so glad nobody has found a picture and it's not surfaced. Oh, my gosh.
We lived in a good time, the 70s and 80s, where there was no social media. It's great.
Exactly.
It's great.
I would be so embarrassed.
I know. There's no way that the things that we used to get away with back then, we would have gotten away with now.
Even in the 90s, I mean, I was in the 90s. Even in the 90s, I didn't.
So you were in high school when?
I graduated in 98.
Okay, so you had a cell phone?
I was thinking about this. I was talking about this with my college roommates. We didn't even have cell phones when we were in college. Because I remember our parents would call us on our landline.
Right.
At the house. And that was
98.
That was 2000.
Because I can remember when Mike and I were in business, we bought one of the first cell phones. I think I've told the story before.
The brick.
We put in our truck. No, it was mounted in the truck. And this friend of Mike's that he went to college with worked for Motorola. And we got a deal. And it was $1,500. That was a deal.
Oh. Yeah.
And
right?
It was like a small suitcase, right?
Well, it was this giant box, like a radio with a phone. You had to go in the truck and use it.
Yeah.
And we had our cell phone bills were $600 a month.
Oh, my God.
And this had to be 1989?
Really?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Huh.
89? And, I mean, literally, that's when cell phones... I mean, it used to be that in the 70s, there were car phones, but it was essentially a two-way radio. You would pick up a phone and call a station where you'd be like, Mabel, get me the post office, you know, like that. And it was a radio, because they had radios and trucks and things like that, but it was sort of like a phone. But, there was no cell phones in college, and I was in college in the early 80s, so nothing.
Thank God. No Facebook.
I know. I wonder if there's going to be a renaissance to getting away from all of that. You know what I mean?
Like, people will finally just get fed up and say, I'm not doing it.
Right. It's interesting because our oldest son, Quinn, who's 22, and he grew up with all this technology. I mean, I can remember with our kids, the rule was, not the rule, but kind of our thing. I think this is right. When you go into high school, you got your first phone. But then as it became more prevalent, I mean, now our kids had phones later in grade school, but they were also doing much more than we did. But he's the type of kid where when he'll put his phone down and it'll be down, he won't even have it with him. He'll plug it in and charge it. He's not connected to it. Or if he goes to play basketball or whatever, it's not, you know, we'll try and get a hold of him. Hey, we can't get a hold of him. Oh, I was playing lacrosse or I was playing basketball, you know, and he just has it in his bag and doesn't go to get it. And I just wonder if even that generation's like, I don't want to be this connected all the time.
Had any friends on Facebook who've said, okay, I'm not going to be on social media for a month. You know, my goal is a month. Then I had the one friend who says, started yesterday.
Yeah.
And they posted on Facebook.
My wife is not on Facebook.
Really?
She just doesn't want to get involved with it. She just doesn't, you know.
I wish I could back out of it.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason I stay, I have a 91-year-old great aunt and I have an 83-year-old uncle who are both
God bless him.
And that's the only way to stay connected with some people. And, you know, a lot of my relatives, it's the only way
I think
I
it's
see
so
them.
Neat, in particular for older folks now to have that, to be able to be connected. I mean, just, and older folks, I just mean, I don't want to make it sound like, you know. But,
but people that aren't in high school where you see those people every single day of your lives. It's...
Right. You know, and I use it more based on just being on the radio and on TV. And it's more common stuff. I don't share a lot of super personal stuff because it's like a fan page. Mm-hmm. But even then, it is neat. You're right, Veronica. It's a nice way for them to say, oh, look, here's a picture of Veronica waiting at the airport to get her son on a plane that's delayed and delayed and delayed.
Exactly.
but I mean
connected still.
Yeah, I like it. It does have an amazing positive side, and it's got a lousy underbelly
I can't say anything that I really think.
Right. right. Yeah, I mean, you really have to be careful. And then, you know, the kids that get bullied on it, and it's just not
well, you know,
good.
Kids aren't really on Facebook anymore.
They've moved on. For the old people.
Yeah, they've moved on.
They're Snapchatting and Instagramming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm Mr. Instagram.
We know.
You can like, do you like someone on Instagram? What do you do?
Yeah.
Is that like liking on Facebook?
Yeah. Kind of.
Because you follow on Twitter.
Well, you follow on... No, you follow Instagram. Follow my Instagram.
You can follow my Instagram at Lou Manfredini. And you can like me on Facebook at
Lou
Manfredini.
That is true.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I'm turning the page on Instagram. I like it. I like the picture. And I like that you can write more.
Than Twitter, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Patrick. Patrick, where are you?
Well, right now I'm on Route 55. So.
Where are you heading?
Taylorville, Illinois.
Oh, I know Taylorville, Illinois. What are you doing down there? I mean, can you tell us? Is it legal?
It is legal.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, the reason I called was I have a ranch house where the basement is completely finished, and I don't know whether it was finished at the time it was built. And the temperature difference between the upstairs and downstairs is 10 degrees difference.
Right.
In the basement, in the ceilings, there is flexible venting, and I can't tell whether they're intakes or whether they're... When the furnace is on and blowing, nothing comes out of them.
Hmm. Okay, so... And where's the thermostat?
It's upstairs on the main floor.
Okay. And so this basement you're using all the time?
Yeah, we are. There's a TV room, et cetera. You know, we've only been in the house less than a year.
Okay. So on those vents, what I would do is turn the fan on your thermostat, turn the switch from auto to fan on so we know the fan is blowing. You know, it's on. Then take a little piece of toilet paper, and with that blower going, I want you to take the toilet paper up by those vents. If it's an intake at all, it should hold that toilet paper in place. And if it's blowing, if you hold it up there, you should see it flutter a little bit to see if there's any kind of airflow whatsoever. But if you're saying no matter what, it's nothing's coming out of there, then you need some kind of supplemental heat source down there. How big is this room?
There's multiple rooms, total square footage. It's probably 2,300 square feet.
Wow. Okay. And is the mechanical room down there, meaning the electrical panel?
Electrical panels are down there. We were considering baseboard hydronic heating for the rooms.
That's what I would tell. What I would tell you is you can buy oil-filled electric baseboard that have their own thermostat on them. Okay. The most efficient way is to get one that is 240, meaning that it's a higher voltage, but it's more efficient.
Okay.
And since it's your mechanical room's down there, you can have an electrician run the proper piping if you have room in the panel, because it'll take probably a 30 amp breaker to run this, a two-pole 30-amp, maybe even a 40-amp. But then you can set that to 70 degrees, whatever. It's completely safe, even if there's furniture near it. I mean, you don't want to crowd it, but you can set it and forget it and not have to worry about it and just have it be a supplemental heat to get you that 10 degrees that you're looking for.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, that'd probably be the best way to go. But I would try this vent trick just to make sure. They could just be open vents that... you know, faking you out. Or if the furnace is down there, you could also have a heating and cooling contractor run an additional supply, at least one, from the mechanical room through one of the walls. Now, mind you, the control is going to be upstairs where your thermostat is, so that thing's going to be dictated by the temperature upstairs, but that could help as well. To sort of temper the space for you. But I think ultimately if you put supplemental heat in there, that'll be the better way to go. I appreciate the phone call. 8:22 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini, home improvement expert and king of ideas.
I just came up with a fabulous idea.
So here's another idea I had.
You're going to get a lot more than home improvement advice on this show, whether you ask for it or not.
And then, now this is a little bit of a stretch. If he gets a hit, everybody yells together, "That's a spicy meatball."
Wouldn't you like to get inside that brain for just a second? You and me both.
So that's my idea for today. I have more, but that's just the one I have right now.
You do.
And now back to your host, home improvement and bright idea extraordinaire, Blue, 720 WGN.
And another thing. I was driving in on the Stevenson, which is a disaster. Or, excuse me, not the Stevenson, the Eisenhower, which is a disaster. From our Villa Park store, coming in to go to one of Mallory's games at St. Ignatius. And as I'm driving in, I'm thinking to myself, why can't we put a double-decker highway? Why can't we just build a bridge, a giant bridge, right over the highway that's there, and have another four lanes coming in and coming out for the people that want to go all the way through? And the same could be on the Kennedy, okay? In other words, I realize we have 294 that was supposed to be the bypass where, oh, you're coming from the north and you don't want to go through the city, but there's so much traffic now that even that's not enough. So if we want to create jobs, state government, we build a bridge, and I realize also that the Dan Ryan is already a bridge, you know, much of it, but we build another row of roads up above. You know, we go 15 feet up, build another set of roads, and that one, when you get on the Kennedy, right where O'Hare meets, you know, where that you come in from O'Hare and then the Edens come together, it's always at where the express lanes start. It's a giant bridge, and it takes you all the way to the other side of Sox Park.
Isn't that kind of what an express lane is, though?
That's totally packed. There's more cars that can take it. So now it's a super-duper express lane. Four lanes both ways get you all the way through the city. You just build it right on top of it on there. Why wouldn't you do that? Tell me. You don't know, right?
Don't.
It's a smart idea. Vote for me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Gloria is in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Hi, Lou. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. How can I help you?
I have a downspout in front of my house, and it goes underground. And that underground portion, that black portion, is frozen. How do I defrost that thing?
Hmm.
I tried pouring hot water because there's an area that's open.
Right.
And it didn't do it. So...
No.
What about sidewalk salt?
Okay, so you have a downspout that goes into the ground, and this buried extension of the pipe, how deep is it?
I don't know. It goes under my sidewalk.
Okay, and you can't see it?
No.
Okay. And where does it
come out the other end, out the bushes, but I can see where it comes out.
You can see where it comes out.
I would say it's about maybe 3 feet.
Yeah. Deep?
Deep.
Okay.
Right.
So the reason that it's frozen is that something has shifted, and it's not a straight, shot where it's collecting water and that's forming a block of ice. There's nothing you're going to pour down there.
Okay.
I mean, because I can't, the fact that it's under your sidewalk, if the block of ice was right where the downspout went in, I could say, oh, you could take that apart and you could even put some ice melt there and it would definitely, you know, break it out. But if it's 2 feet down the line and it's under the sidewalk where it's frozen, the ice melt will never get there.
Okay.
So the right way to do this is to dig it up and then repitch it so it's proper. But that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, and that doesn't help you right now. I mean, thankfully it's warming up a little bit. This is only a problem in the winter, right? It doesn't happen normally?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And if you disconnected that downspout from where it goes into the ground, there's no place for that water to go, correct?
Right. I have to put an extension on it. And it looks terrible because it comes right out the front of the house.
Right. But then if you put that extension on, would you be walking over an icy patch?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a problem. Well, the only thing I can tell you is that can you disconnect the downspout from where it is right now going into the ground, or is it one big long piece?
I can disconnect it, but it's worrisome. I do that with all the others, but this one worries me because I'm afraid I'm going to get myself in a bind and I won't be able to put it back together again.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I can disconnect
Can it. You, let me ask you this. When you, where this black pipe is and the downspout goes in, could you sprinkle some ice melt down in that joint?
Yes, I could.
All right. So let's just give it a shot. No guarantees that this would work. Take some ice melt. It's not going to harm anything. Okay. And try and pour, you know, a good cup down there.
Okay.
Especially since it's warm, you know, warm the next couple of days.
Yes. Right.
And then on tomorrow afternoon, pour a little bit more down there and see if that helps at all.
Okay.
All right. You got nothing to lose, but ultimately what you're going to have to do is dig it up and repitch it so that it doesn't freeze on you. I appreciate the phone call. Shopping for furniture can be an experience. So many sizes, colors, styles. Why not make it the right experience by going to Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois? Goods has 12 historic multi-level buildings full of the good, better, and best furniture you'll find anywhere. Let that soak in for a minute. 12 buildings of furniture. Goods is brimming with ideas, and they have rooms that are packed. And the room settings and selections are beautiful. So you rarely have to flip through catalogs to find what you're looking for. You don't even have to go outside in the cold. You see there's glass elevators and a skywalk that connects the entire campus. Enjoy lunch in the wine cellar restaurant. Browse the shops at the market square and relax. Goods has a friendly staff, and there's no arm wrestling over prices. You don't even have to navigate through the stoplights and traffic when you travel to Goods. It's just an easy drive west on I-80. Make the trip to Goods and add quality furniture to your home. Goods Furniture. It's open every day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Goods Furniture. No hype, just honest-to-goodness value day in and day out. 8:31 in the morning, after the WGN Radio News, we're going to talk with someone from Carrier. They are the HVAC company. When I was out at the Builder Show, they introduced a whole new home automation system, which, you know, it's all about being connected, but it's all based on the brain of their thermostat, which is pretty cool.
3 hours of Manfredini. It's a Mr. Fix-It hat trick. Mike Emmerich from NBC Sports here, and I'm a big Lou fan. Great to hear him on the radio home of the Blackhawks, 720 WGN.
Thank you, Doc. 8:37 in the morning. Yeah, and the radio home of the Blackhawks for another 5 years. I'm sure you saw this news that WGN Radio and the Chicago Blackhawks have signed a 5-year extension to continue to bring you Blackhawks hockey on this very radio station, which is super exciting. And I would argue that John Weideman is probably one of the best play-by-play hockey guys out there. And Doc Emmerich, who's right there at the top of that list, I'm sure would concur with me. He's a fine broadcaster. And Troy Murray on color, those two do such a terrific job together painting a picture of a super, super fast game. Oh, my gosh, so much fun. And the All-Star game is in Nashville, which is Nashville's where they try to keep the Hawks fans from buying tickets to games when we play them, which drives me crazy. I don't know why they can't figure out that how small that makes them look. You know what I mean? Just let everybody enjoy the hockey game. And if you own the Nashville Predators, why wouldn't you want to take the money? You know what I mean? It's crazy. It is just crazy to me. As I mentioned, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was at the International Builders Show. We were there with our House Smart cameras, and we were filming a few segments about products, new products, things that were out there, namely sponsors of our show as an integration into what we do with House Smart. So many times when we have sponsors, not only do they advertise with House Smarts, but then we take some of their information and we put that into a segment if it's, you know, if it's meaningful. We have been fortunate enough to have Marvin Windows for many, many years, and so we did some integration with them. And also with the Carrier Group. And a year earlier at the Consumer Products show, they introduced a brand new Wi-Fi thermostat. Now you're saying, okay, Lou, you've been talking about Wi-Fi thermostats forever. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal was it was more than just a Wi-Fi thermostat. It was sort of the foundation for what was going to become a larger system for your home. Joining me on the phone line right now is Vice President of Marketing for Carrier, Matthew Pine. Matthew, thanks so much for getting up with us this morning.
No problem, Lou. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's back up a little bit. Let's not talk about what you guys introduced this year at the Builder Show, but let's talk about your core thermostat that now I think is in its second year availability. Does that sound about right?
That sounds right. We launched it last year, as you well know, at the CES show in Las Vegas, and then we also the next couple weeks later at IBS rolled it out as well. And we've had a tremendous amount of success with it in 2015. We were able to save our homeowners 25% on their heating and cooling bill, which equates to roughly $21 a month. So some real savings that our customers were able to get in 2015.
Now, as I mentioned, you know, Wi-Fi thermostat, certainly nothing new to the industry. There's many, many different manufacturers. And I will say this, so you don't have to say this, but I think that most consumers now, because of the amount of marketing dollars that are out there, are familiar with a product called the Nest, which is now owned by Google. And initially, it was not owned by Google. That product, this is me talking, not you, has been plagued with a lot of problems. And so from a connectivity issues and actually operational, here you guys, you know, your whole marketing tag is, you know, turn to the experts, and you've been in the HVAC business for a very long time. You developed this system and this core system that is a product that is effective. It works. It helps with energy management, with control. And it also uniquely can be updated, correct, online as different firmwares and things come out.
Yeah, that's correct. So we have the ability through the Wi-Fi connectivity to upgrade it remotely, to put different versions of software on the thermostat. And like you said, I think that, you know, what's unique about our kind of value proposition in the space is that we invented modern air conditioning, right? So
right.
We've been at it for 114 years. And, you know, what's unique about our product also is we know how the HVAC system works and interacts with the home. We don't just make the thermostat. So it really gives us a unique competitive advantage in the marketplace.
So now at this year's home, the Builders Show down in Las Vegas, out west there, you've taken this thermostat and made it part of a much bigger family when it comes to controlling your home. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically what we've done is we've expanded off kind of our focus on heating and cooling, which is really the efficiency vertical in the house, and really expanded, you know, into the broader ecosystem, the broader, verticals, if you will, which is, you know, fire safety, you know, life safety, as well as security. And what enables us to do that is we're owned by United Technologies, and United Technologies owns Carrier, which is a leader in HVAC. They own Kidde, which is the leader in fire safety, and also they own Interlogic, which used to be GE Security, which is a leader in residential security. So we've got all those different verticals under our roof, and we have the expertise in-house. We don't have to go out and acquire a different company like others do to gain that capability. So it puts us in a unique position to be able to expand this core thermostat into a broader core home energy management, you know, beyond energy management, into a core home automation system.
One of the unique opportunities in all of this is that there's very little wiring that has to occur with this system. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, what's great about it, you know, the product is virtually wireless. I mean, there's certain components that have to have power, run to them.
Sure.
Namely the thermostat. But there's other components in the ecosystem that don't require power. For example, door locks. They use a Z-Wave technology to communicate from the door lock to the hub in the home, the core hub. It enables you to remotely unlock your doors and lock your doors. And so there's really no power required. It's all battery driven. And the batteries nowadays, you know, can last up to 3 or 4 years.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to be changed out every other month or every 6 months.
The whole idea, I know for some people, it scares them with the connectivity, saying, I don't want everybody knowing when I'm coming and going and whatnot. But for many of us in busy, working households where both people are working, kids are at school, and having that kind of control and ability to know what's going on in your home, I mean, think about it. As you mentioned, with this system installed correctly, if you had a plumber that you work with, that you trust, and you know that plumber's coming over, they can call you and say, hey, Matthew, I'm here. Okay, let me unlock the door. And you can do it all from your phone. And they can go in and do their work and then say, I'm leaving. Well, actually, the one, even the next level is you could watch them on the camera as they're fixing the toilet.
Absolutely.
Although I don't know why you'd want the camera in the bathroom, but that's a whole other story, Matthew. That's none of my business.
There's lots of different use cases out there.
But tell me how the response was. I know that when we were there with our house mounted cameras, there was a lot of interest from some of the bigger builders looking at using this as a competitive advantage.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And, you know, you really hit on a couple of the key trends in the home, people working from home today more and more from, you know, than in the past, people homeschooling, multi-generational homes, lots of different, generations living together. So the need states are very different in the home. I think one of the biggest trends we focus on is millennials. And, you know, they're approaching, you know, they're in the 25 to 34 range today. That's kind of hard to believe. And, you know, they are really driving the housing market. They make up the predominant, you know, 68% of first-time buyers are millennials.
Right.
And like, I think it's like 35% of all buyers are millennials. And really what they want over curb appeal is technology. So I think a lot of the builders are recognizing that. And it's not only that generation. There's others that are really getting geared up around technology. But technology is, in some cases, in some generations, trumping curb appeal. And the builders see that, and they're making these investments.
Yeah, and the fact that this system literally is, I don't want to say plug and play, because it really is just mount and play, because you don't really have to plug it into anything. It really makes it easy for them to integrate this into a new home.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, with the wiring, it's the wiring of the past is not needed. You do everything from your smartphone. And it's true home automation. A lot of the products, you know, up until really this product and maybe a few others in the market, they've been what I'll call connected products, where they're really monitoring and controlling the house. These systems really optimize and automate the house, which makes it really smart.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe we're now just coming into the smart home. We've been in the connected home prior.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought the system was really slick when we took a look at it and all the things that it can do. And I think when you stop for a minute and you think about it, to have that type of control, and even to the next level, I mean, it's going to be the conversation that system can have with your HVAC contractor if there's a service issue, where they're going to be able to ultimately tell, based on the faults that's going on, what the potential problem could be with your system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it provides what I'll call system health monitoring. It gives, you know, lots of rich information back to the contractor with the consumer's permission to be able to preempt any failures. Because, listen, failures happen from time to time.
Sure.
They're mechanical pieces of equipment. But if we have, you know, good data, then we can go out and preempt that failure from happening and save, you know, a bill that might have been, you know, $400 or $500 and make it maybe just a service trip of, you know, $120.
Right. Matthew Pine is the VP of Marketing for Carrier. Matthew, if people want more information about Carrier and the core system, where do they go?
They go to www.carrier.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a terrific weekend.
Thanks a lot, Lou. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate you coming on. It's 8:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
I have a noise, loud hum in my kitchen. It's driving me insane.
And what does it sound like?
It sounds like, it's a high-pitched like a hum.
Can you do it again?
Ah.
Wait, one more time. What does it sound like?
Ah.
Oh, that's better. Yeah, I think that's a B flat.
It still cracks me up. Hi, Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 8:51. I have a sweet animal story for you after 9 o'clock this morning. We're also, you know who we're going to talk to? Steve Bertrand. After 9 o'clock this morning, he's going to call in. We love him. He's great. And he's doing such a nice job on that Wintrust business lunch. Mm-hmm. I have been in town this week, and so it seems like I'm always in the car around noon. I'm heading somewhere. And he's had some terrific interviews, and, you know, he's just terrific. He's just great. We're going to talk about he's got a new trip coming, going to Eastern Europe, which I have so much to talk about. I'm not sure that he's going to get a chance to talk at all. So we'll talk. I have a sweet animal story for you after 9 concerning our two dogs, and also Steve Bertrand after that as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is John in Justice. Hey, John, you're on WGN.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Rule.
How can I help you, sir?
Sir, I have a problem with my boiler.
And lately I have high pressure on the water, close to 30. Usually it's, less than 20. But this, I'm releasing water from extend tank, but still after a couple of hours I have the same problem.
So it's
what I have to do.
Okay, so you've got a pressure issue?
Yes.
Tell me again. Someone was talking in my ear. Tell me, yeah. What do you normally, what pressure does that tank normally hold at?
Well, it's hold up to 50.
Right.
Yes. But I have close to 30. It's past my red arrow what I have. They understand this is danger for
right.
for boiler.
Right.
And I'm taking water from the extend tank what I have above the ceiling.
Okay.
So, yeah, and pressure is going down. After 2-3 hours, I have again.
It goes back up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have an automatic fill valve that keeps the water, that keeps the water level as it,
It's fairly new that I replaced 2010.
Well, my guess is if you've got an issue with pressure, it's one of two things. It could be a problem with the tank, or it could be a problem with the water valve, the fill valve coming into the system that's adding too much water to it. When's the last time you had this thing professionally serviced? You're the professional, aren't you?
That's a very simple, boiler.
Right.
It's very simple. I still have a thermocouple.
Right.
I don't have electronic.
No. Understand.
Yeah.
But if it's a problem with too much, three different things that you could check. You could have a faulty gauge. Okay, that's one thing. So you could try changing the gauge out. The expansion tank may need to be drained and or replaced, or the fill valve is there. Do you have a temperature gauge of what the water is heated at?
Yes, I have a temp.
Like 140? What is it? What is it running at?
Yeah, 140. 140 will be 140 to disconnect up to 140.
Okay, so from a temperature standpoint, it's staying consistent at 140.
Yes.
Okay, it's one of those three things, my friend. So you either have to drain that tank or replace that tank. Expansion tanks are cheap.
Okay. Could be my extended tank is maybe full of water.
Could be.
So
shut the system.
And half a tank to be safe. Yeah.
Say that again.
Can I release more water, take more water from the extended tank?
Take it all out. You can take it all out.
Oh, out. Okay.
Yeah, and then then take it all out. But then, how old is this boiler?
Sir, if I tell you how old, it's about 50, 60 years old.
Right? Older than you.
Older than me, correct. But it's still working.
Right. Don't be surprised if you have to just replace that whole tank, too. But take all the water out of that tank.
Okay.
It'll fill itself back up, and if your fill valve is working, it'll keep the right amount of water in the system.
Okay.
And give it a shot. If not, you got to replace that tank. It's either the gauge, the tank, or the valve.
Okay.
If we're keeping the temperature at the right spot, which you say it is.
Yeah. It's up to 140 and shut off.
Just make sure you shut everything down before you go working on it.
Okay.
Capiche?
Okay, capiche.
All right. Thanks, John.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. We'll be back right after these.
Help, I need somebody.
We all need a little help sometimes. Don't be ashamed. We get tons of calls here on the Mr. Fix-It Show every week. Some normal.
This week we found a dead mouse and some mouse droppings under our sink.
I've got a small bathroom that has a shower in it. It's starting to peel on the ceiling.
And some not so normal.
I can't stop the squirrels from jumping from my patio table onto my screen door and peeing into my living room.
I get this in my wall.
But he takes them all. Now back to Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It makes me laugh so much when people make the sounds of things that they hear. It just makes me giggle. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Thank you very much. You know what my New Year's resolution is, right?
Flossing.
Flossing.
I do, yes.
I am new. I love flossing. It's my most favorite thing in the world.
Really?
Yes. And Sue, who we work with at the Ace in Edgewick, mm-hmm. gave me this little thing that you put the floss on that's like a little mm-hmm. fork. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
Yeah, they sell them in huge packages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she got me one because I was saying, you know, I'm Mr. Floss now. Mm-hmm. And I wrapped it. First, I had to put my glasses on to figure out how to put it on, but I figured it out. And you put it in your mouth, and you have to stick these. Look at the size of these hands. And I'm going to go back there and click, 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 yeah. click, click, and it goes super fast.
Okay, but you have to put the floss on yourself?
You put the floss on. I think they make them that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, this one is
it's a big time saver, Lou.
Wow, but I mean, it's part of the whole process. It's good for my heart, you told me.
No, but I'm saying that you can buy them, like Veronica was saying, in a pack of like 150 for a buck rather than that are already pre-strung rather than having to put the floss on yourself.
Yeah, I know, but that's not what you got me.
Okay. Okay.
And that one's a little small. Yeah, well, this one you twist it around. It's great. It's awesome. I got this letter. Hi, Lou. This may be one of the most off-the-wall letters you've ever received, but when you said you hated to floss, I felt that I had to write you. I also do not like to floss. I hated it. For several years, my dentist told me I had 4 and 5 pockets and were getting worse each visit. That's like, you know, when the dentist goes with the little probe and around your teeth.
That's the worst.
Number 2, number mm-hmm. 4, number 3, right? And you're always, the lower the number, the better. And when they say 3 and a half, you're like, oh, I don't want, it's like you feel bad.
Yeah.
Right? When I go back, I'm going to be a 1. Can you get all 1s? Call your dad. Can you get all 1s?
I'll get a text from him in a minute.
Yeah, what is it? If you got all 1s, I would think that they would high-five me. So she says, I got the 4 and 5, they're getting worse. Finally, I started using, now I don't know what this is. Do you know what this is? Stimudents. Stimudents.
Well, the first part would sound like it's stimulating, so maybe it's
Stimudents.
Making the blood
I finally
move
started
around.
Using Stimudents. Steve Bertrand on the line. Do you know what Stimudents are?
I do not know what Stimudents are, no.
At my next appointment, he said, your teeth are much, much better. You must be flossing every day. When I told him I wasn't, he didn't believe me. Then I said that I've been using Stimudents every day. He told me, keep it up. And I've been doing it ever since. My pockets are now down to 1 and 2.
You know, when I got put on hold, I thought the peeing squirrels was going to be the weirdest thing I heard.
Hold on. It's so easy, and it actually feels good as I'm doing it. Now we have to find out what they are. Lindsay, you got to Google it. Stimudents. Having a full mouth of gingivotomy when I was 25 years old. Gingivotomy. That's a big word. When I was 25, I'm now 77 and I still have all my teeth. These are the kinds of things, Steve, that I hope someday, if you and I are going out to get a drink or something, I say, I'm 77 and I have all my teeth.
It's just further proof you can fix anything.
I hate to floss, so I don't have to. So far, so good. And it says, I love your program. I listen every Saturday. How come Steve's not on anymore? No, it doesn't say that. And thanks for all the great tips. Give flossing a try, she says. Best to you and your family. And that's from Julie. Isn't that nice? Isn't that
that's
a nice letter?
A very nice and funny letter.
What are Stimudents?
I have a dentist appointment on Friday, so I'm going to tell you all about it.
Well, we want to know now. Will you tell me what your pockets are?
I'll bring them next week. I'll have my dentist maybe.
I did look it up.
What is it?
I have it here, too.
Yeah.
What is it?
They look like little toothpicks.
Yeah.
They're like the little toothpicks that you poke in that have little ribs on them.
Mm-hmm.
I know what those are. I've heard that those are really good. It's like chewing on a toothpick.
There you go. And they're mint flavored.
Yeah. Oh, Steve, I'm sorry. We have no time to talk to you now.
Listen, it was great to talk to you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Veronica, I'm feeling for you. I remember now what it was like.
It's why he left. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Bertrand. Nice to talk to you this morning. I was so excited when I heard that you had this new trip coming up that I said, we got to talk to Steve and tell people about it. Because, and the reason, I don't know if you remember this, but you know, when our daughter Carmen was studying in Italy last year, in Florence, and she traveled all over the place, the most surprising thing about her travels to her mother and I, and maybe perhaps me, she loved Eastern Europe.
Right.
And in particular, Prague, which I know you're going to, and I think another city that you're going to as well. And she's like, I don't know, there was something about the people and how it looked. It was so beautiful. And so when I started hearing all this, I said, well, we got to tell people about this trip. So what do you got going?
So we're just unveiling a trip. We're going to go in July. I think we're leaving June 30th, but it's Prague and Vienna, and with a stop in Bratislava as well, which might be the city you were thinking of. And I'm like you. I mean, I love to travel. I love history and all of that. But I have to say, and everyone's saying you have to go to Prague, you have to go to Prague. And I just didn't know much about it until I started looking into it. Man, I spent my Friday night last night watching Rick Steves' video, which speaks to the excitement of my life. And
got to get you out more.
Oh, my. But
I was watching a World War II documentary, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, they're related in a way because Prague is one of those European cities that was untouched by World War I or World War II. So, you know, it's still all there. And, my God, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the buildings are beautiful. The people are beautiful. And I can't wait to see it. So, yeah, so we're going to lead a trip. You know, we've gone to Ireland and France and Italy and such. But we're going to go to Prague and Vienna. We leave June 30th. It's a 9-day trip. And what I like about this one, Lou, is, I mean, I like all the trips, but this one, it's just two hotels.
Nice.
So we're in Prague for 4 nights, and then we're in Vienna for 3 nights. And I've always had a crush on Austria. I've never been there either.
Yeah. And, you know, my wife, Mary Beth, studied in Vienna for a semester and loved it. And I was fortunate enough to go visit her for a week, and it really is a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, and so we're going to have a night of Mozart and Strauss in Vienna, some music. And if you like opera, I think there's an opera event in Prague, too. Not a whole opera, just a little sample, a little flavor of it. but I'm really looking forward to this. And it's the other thing is, you know, Lou, all the trips I've led have been in the fall. And I always hear from teachers and people who say, why don't you do something in the summer when we can go? So that's kind of the idea behind this. It's a summer trip, and it's $4,200. That includes airfare and you know, all the admissions, several dinners. We've got some gourmet dinners lined up and well, and it's just a cool thing. I can't wait to do it.
Will there be Wiener Schnitzel?
There will be schnitzel.
Yeah.
There will be apple strudel.
Oh, okay.
I understand in Prague there will be.
You had me at apple strudel.
I know. There will be high-quality beer in Prague.
Yeah.
They're known for their beer. And, you know, we've talked about these things. I just love that when we get these groups together, group of GN listeners, it becomes like this family or this small town riding around on a bus.
And, I know.
You know, people have reunions afterward and stuff. It's just, it's really cool. So I think I was at the travel show last week, and we were talking about these trips. And really one of the coolest things is traveling with other people and getting to know them, and how, you know, it's hard to say goodbye when we pick up our luggage at O'Hare.
That's so great. That's great. I think it sounds like a fabulous trip.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, obviously $4,200 with almost all inclusive. I mean, there's some meals on your own, but that's a bargain. But we both know what people are paying for is a chance to travel with my wife, Sharon.
Of course. Well, that to me is worth $8,400, so I think charge even double. Because the thing is, if your wife is going, it really should be come to Prague and come to Vienna with Sharon Bertrand. She's really super sweet. She's pretty. She's smart. Really, she's nothing like you.
Right. And so, again, when we land at O'Hare and we pick up our luggage, everyone is hugging Sharon goodbye.
Of course they are.
I hope people will join us. This is one. I think it's going to go pretty quickly. You never can tell. But
all right, where do people find the information if they want to learn more about the trip and book it?
Okay, there are 32 different ways to find out. So how much time do we have left?
As much as you want for you.
You can call me at 847-606-6065. I'll give that number again in a second. There's information at WGNradio.com as well. You can also see it at SteveBertrandTravel.com. You can send me an email, Steve@SteveBertrandTravel.com. But again, a phone call, and I can talk to you about what we're going to do. It's at 847-606-6065.
The thing is, now obviously you and I have known each other a long time, and we've talked for years about these trips that you take. And I think for folks that are not only fans of yours, but fans of the station, it's a really unique opportunity, in particular traveling with you. And I know that you put together a trip with John Williams, right? That they're heading to France. Is that right?
John's going to Paris in May or April, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, all that, it's just a unique opportunity to do something different, but also be surrounded by all the beauty that whatever the location has to offer, but this particular one, Austria, and Prague, just sounds great.
You know, and we've talked about it. It's a funny thing because I love travel. I love being in other places, but it's the community of it is just it's something I didn't expect, and I really enjoy that.
Which is an interesting thing for you because you really don't like people, and so it's nice that you're willing to share yourself with the people that travel.
It's odd, isn't it? I don't like people. And yet I do like these people.
I know you do.
I've been lucky so far.
I know.
One other thing I want to say about it, though, is with these trips sometimes, you know, you're scheduled, bomb, 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 bomb. We don't do that. We try to book in a lot of free time, too. So, you know, you'll be seeing the sights, but then have an opportunity because I think one of the cool things about being somewhere is just to be in the place.
Right. You know? Right.
To be able to wander on your own and pick up your own schnitzel when you want.
Right.
So there's plenty of free time as well.
Yeah, that's good because you don't want to do a trip where all of a sudden, you know, by the time you get to 9 o'clock at night, you are just exhausted.
Right.
And, you know, then you got to, okay, we got to get up. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. We got to be on this. And so that's nice to know that it's a pace that is a doable and then offers you a chance to, you know, sit down in a square and have a coffee or a little glass of something and enjoy yourself.
To interact with the Czechs and the Austrians and, right. you know, actually be in it. So
that's so cool.
It's going to be very cool. And I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, I look forward to all of them, but I'm really excited about this because I've always wanted to go to Vienna and I'm really learning a lot about Prague.
Steve Bertrand and his Steve Bertrand Trips Galore. This is a great one. And we'll put all that information up on our webpage as well. One last time, the website.
SteveBertrandTravel.com, and my phone number is 847-606-6065.
All right, my friend.
What do I bring you back? I'll bring you back Lederhose, maybe Lederhose.
You know, I'm actually wearing
floss.
Today. Floss. Can you bring me floss? I'm wearing the Irish sweater today that you brought back from Ireland. You just can't see it.
Nice.
Yeah, so thank you. Do me a favor. Send my love to Sharon because I like her more than I like you.
Everyone does.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Appreciate you talking. Oh, by the way, speaking of floss, Sue, who I was just talking about, who got me the little floss thing, and she's right. It's called the flosser. It's reusable, so it doesn't end up in a landfill. So all those little things that, okay?
I know now because the text line lit up.
Made in the USA.
Oh, nice.
Right, so I'm sticking something in my mouth made in the USA.
Thanks. Sorry, Sue.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Huh. 9:23 in the morning. I want to go on that trip. That sounds like a fun trip.
My New Year's resolution now is to be like Steve.
Me too.
Who doesn't want to be like Steve?
I really want to go on one of his trips.
Actually,
I've never been overseas, so this would be a good time to go because then they already know all the, you know, the ropes.
Here's the angle you should work with Steve, okay? You should say, hey, if I were to go on the trip, you know, because now it could be go on the trip with Steve Bertrand and Veronica Carter.
That's true.
Maybe we can work on a little side deal to maybe, you know, get a little discount.
I know some people.
Right.
I want to come back as Steve's wife. She's not doesn't have to do. I mean, look at this. She just gets to tag along for all the fun stuff.
Just hold a second. She's married to Steve. So how does that sound now? See?
Hey,
just hold on. Just
pretty good.
Let that soak in for a second. Okay. You got to be married to that schnitzel. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Irene in Glenview. Hi, Irene. You're on WGN.
Hi. This past summer, I installed a brand new air conditioning and heating unit in my house. They vented it out to my carport, which turned into a steam room.
Oh, yeah.
And I called, of course, and said, this is not going to do. So now they vented it up over my on my roof, which is a flat roof, a rubberized flat roof. And the steam, and underneath that flat roof, I have wood that goes, wood planks that go across. Been there since the house has been built, I guess.
Okay.
And my question and concern is, now they put it up on the roof, and it looks like a telescope from a submarine goes up, and it has this little hook, and the air comes out through there.
Right.
They claim this is going to be okay, and it's not going to be harmful to my flat roof. Well, I see the steam going down at the flat roof. So my question to you, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not harmful.
Okay, that was my question. I thought maybe it was going to ruin the rubberized roofing itself.
No. It's okay. it's just condensation, Irene. Okay. And one thing is, you know, depending on, you know, I get how, like, I don't like seeing that white pipe going up there. What you could do in the spring, or have someone go up there, wipe down that pipe, and take a can of black flat spray paint, and spray paint the whole thing black.
Oh, I can do that.
Then it's not as noticeable. I understand your point. Now, it's not going to be forever. You may have to touch it up a few years down the road because it sits up there and looks at the, you know, at the sky all the time.
Well, that's not really my concern. My concern is this rubberized roofing. Is it going to be bothered by the steam?
It is no. That steam is literally just condensation. So it's no different than when it's raining or there's snow on the roof or whatever. And it's really only an issue when it's super cold outside, because when it's a tempered day like today and your furnace is running, you probably don't see anything coming out of there because it's not steam.
Good.
Right? So don't worry about it ruining the roof. It will have no effect whatsoever.
Okay, well, thank you very much, but I have one last concern.
Sure.
I have not heard about the Big O for a long time. What's going with that man?
Orion Samuelson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's on. He's on. He's been, he does a lot of his reports now from his home. I think he's in Arizona right now. So he's not every single day now. I think I don't know his exact schedule, but
he's usually 9:30-ish or something is, you know,
a little bit later.
Yeah. He's not doing the morning.
Yeah. He's not doing the super early morning. And is he doing 5 days a week, Veronica? Or
I don't know if he's, I think he's 5 days a week.
Yeah. I know Steve Alexander fills in for him quite a bit, but he's still around. He's just, I think he's backing off a little bit on his amount of reports that he does, but he is healthy and he's around.
I saw him about 2 weeks ago, and he was very chipper.
Okay. I just don't want you overworking that poor man.
That's right. Well, the work that man puts in is all on him. He's just it's that Norwegian work ethic. You can't take it out of him.
I guess. All right. Thank you so much again for the advice, and you made me feel a lot better because my husband just recently passed, and I am alone making decisions, and I don't want to be a pest with companies that are serving me, but yet I want my problems taken care of.
Absolutely. Don't ever hesitate to call and ask. I'm happy to give you any advice I can.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You take
care.
Have a good one. You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:29 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
It's our Just Text Me segment. Remember, we love when you text us, just not when you drive. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. Sitting in the producer's chair is executive producer Lindsay Smithwick.
I love that title. I always used to just say producer.
Well, you're executive producer. Sounds
better.
I gave
myself a promotion.
Right, you got a promotion. You don't get any more money, you just get the title.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's how the world is. How are you?
I'm super.
Good. What do you got for me?
Okay. 312. Lou, we are trying to decide whether to install a pre-finished wood floor or a finished in-place floor. What are the pros and cons of each?
So I have zero problem with a pre-finished floor. If we're talking about a real 3/4-inch thick wood floor, some of the pluses of the pre-finished floor is the fact that the finish is baked on. It's done in a factory setting, so it literally is more auto body looking, where it's super smooth. They bake it on with UV lights typically, so it's very strong. And there's less dust because there's no sanding. So it goes in, it's finished, it's done. And if they do a nice job, you're none the wiser when it's completed. You'd have to do nothing. The sanded floor, and cost-wise, you're about the same, maybe a little bit more on the pre-finished side. So they're very similar in cost. The raw floor that gets down and sanded, depending on the installation and what's going on, it might be offer you more options as far as the grade of the wood that you want, where there's some options there. So it really is a pre-finished floor also go down faster. Because once it's down, it's down. There's no sanding, no finishing. So if you want to avoid all the dust that comes along, even when the people say, oh, it's dustless sanding, there's less dust now because they use filters and whatnot. But trust me, there will be dust. There'll even be dust with a pre-finish because they have to cut the floor, but a lot less. So,
what about upkeep?
No different.
No different.
No difference.
Okay, 847. I have a 13-year-old Kohler two-handle jetted tub faucet. The cold water handle suddenly has gotten hard to turn on and off. Any ideas how to fix this?
Well, more than likely, it's an issue with the cartridge itself. Depending on the trim of the handle, sometimes it's just this underneath the handle, there's an excussion that goes down typically on those Kohlers. That, over years of turning, can tighten and actually put more of a pressure on the valve cartridge itself and cause it to be difficult to turn on and off. Sometimes if you grab that little, like the chrome piece or the brass, whatever it may be, that's under the handle and loosen it, it may take you may need to use a pair of channel locks that you want to wrap some tape around it so that when you loosen it, you don't mar the finish. But if you just loosen it one little half of a tick, that may help. If not, then the entire cartridge, more than likely, the insert inside that faucet needs to be replaced.
Okay.
That wasn't a look like...
Well, because I keep thinking I hear something in my headphones. Do you hear that?
Are you listening to a different radio show?
Oh, that's what... No, right. I don't...
You need to stop listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Maybe I'm just hearing voices in my hair.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, 608. What kind of caulking works best to fill the gap between my house foundation and my cement driveway? The pads seem to move up a bit in the winter and settle back in the spring.
So there I am, starting with so again.
I was just going to call you up.
Right. If the gap is really large, you need a caulking that has the ability to be put down in a wider swath. Butyl caulking, which is a rubber, is your best bet. And it's a little bit difficult to find. Good hardware stores will carry a butyl caulking. And if it's more than an inch wide, even for butyl, that's too much. The trick is the depth of the what you're filling. So there's a caulking rope that you can buy that's it's a styrofoam coil of spaghetti. Looks like spaghetti. It's round. It comes in different diameters. You want to stuff that into the gap between the concrete and the house or whatever you're caulking so that the depth is less than 3/8 of an inch. And then you can get away with doing something wider. And with the butyl caulking, if it's a really wide gap, you just have to really take your time to get a nice finish because otherwise it'll look like a big booger.
Huh.
Good morning. And so you want to make it nice and smooth to fill it in like that.
Okay. Booger Talk.
Yeah.
On WGN.
On WGN at 942.
269. Last one. How can I get rid of stink bugs?
Oh, they're so yucky and they're so stinky.
Stinky.
You know, they're the distant cousin to the bed bug.
Mm.
Yeah. So they make, you know, as they walk around, I don't know where, it doesn't say where they have them. Yeah, they're stinky. So they have little, they have literally little glue traps to so that they walk on and get stuck. There are some sprays you can use as well. Raid makes a spray called Raid Max Bug Spray. It's clear, and you can put that around the perimeter, and it will help to limit and eliminate some, but not all. So it's a combination of the little glue traps and the spray around the perimeter. What's nice about the Raid Max is it has no odor, and it's clear. And so you want to spray it around the perimeter of the areas that you have. And really, it's the type of thing where you want to constantly vacuum. If you have a canister vacuum, and vacuum, and try and get them up as much as possible. But then you need to empty the bag or the canister of the vacuum cleaner, because then that'll really smell.
How do you get stink bugs?
I don't know. I'm not an entomologist.
Huh.
Here's the thing. We live in their world. Right. Yeah. So they were all here first, and then we build a house here and whatever. And so they come in, and people are, you know, are always like, oh, my gosh, you know, there's bugs are amazing. Why are we getting all these ants? Well, because you built a house in their home on top of their home, and they don't want to leave.
I guess.
But that combination should work.
All right, my friend, that is our Just Text Me segment.
Awesome. Thank you very much. 9:44 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these. Oh, we were just talking about Kathy and Judy talking about things that you do over and over again. And Lindsay says that her husband, David, went to go see the band Widespread Panic how many times?
Oh, this is embarrassing now. Over 100 times. I went to his 100th concert with him.
That's how he knew you were the one.
Yeah, I guess.
Were you married then?
No. I mean, it's obviously
like,
a lot's changed.
If she comes with me to this show, then I know
this
she'll marry
it.
Me.
Crazy.
Well, at least we know he's committed. That's
that
a good thing as a wife.
Very loyal.
Right. So that's good. And then you said you've seen Jewel how many times?
I've seen Jewel. Totally different bands.
Still hasn't gotten those teeth fixed.
Probably about 10 times.
Got that little,
yeah.
Got that little,
fang. Got a little snaggle.
It. Yeah. I wonder if she flosses.
She looks 19. Like a flosser.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any, or do you do anything like over and over and over again? Kathy and Judy are going to talk about that today.
Well, I thought that I was bad because I've seen Keith Urban 4 times. He's
I
the
love
only
Keith.
He is the only country artist that I can stomach, and I adore that man.
He's a handsome fella.
It's not just that. He's just so, and this is why I think he has so many female fans, is his words to his songs are, you know, like every woman wants a man to sing those to
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. My daughters love Keith Urban.
He's amazing.
Yeah. I haven't done anything. I was thinking the only concert that I can think of that I've, the only art, now it's not just concert, they're going to talk about other stuff, but I went and saw Bruce Springsteen in 1984 at Soldier Field.
I was 4.
You were 4. And then when he played Wrigley Field 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's the only concert I've been. But now Mary Beth and I will go to restaurants that we really like, and if we like them a lot,
sure,
we'll go back again. Like Libertad and Skokie. It's like we're owners. We go so much. Or the Community Tavern on Milwaukee. You know, you get a nice,
right,
you feel good. So, you know, and there's a lot of restaurants to go to, but it's if you're looking for something that you know is always consistently good, that's what I think it is. If it's consistently good, then you like it.
Yeah. Well, you could combine it. There are some restaurants who have musical acts.
Right.
And you can go see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
City Winery.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I love it there.
Yes, me too.
So cool.
What's that?
The City Winery over on
Randolph.
What is that? Randolph.
Yeah.
What do they do there?
They've got like great artists that come in, musicians that come in, and you can sit down and have dinner or, you know, just drinks. We went and it's like you get table service.
Oh, I like that. Look
Very
at that.
Cool.
Very cool. 100 times he saw a band.
Over, Lou. If he was listening right now, he'd be so mad at me for telling this.
Does he have like a tattoo that says Widespread Panic?
No.
They had one hit. You got to find the hit.
Ain't Life Grand, it's called. Was their big one. Was one of their big ones.
Ain't Life. No.
We'll rejoin back. Well,
I saw Def Leppard 4 times in the 80s.
There you go.
I thought you didn't. Oh, no, you had the big hair.
I did.
You
oh,
did
he's,
have the
I
big
was
hair.
Right now. He's so mad at me.
Right. Were you a Bon Jovi fan, too?
I did like Bon Jovi, but I have a bone to pick with Bon Jovi.
Which is?
The cliches. Now, once I tell you this, because I've made people mad by telling them this before.
I'm a cowboy.
Yes.
On a steel horse I ride.
Every song has a cliche in it.
That's the Bond one, Joey. Sorry.
And once you know that, you start listening to him, and you just can't listen anymore because it just, it's like he hears a cliche, and he goes, I got to write a song about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have no Bon Jovi, I mean, I don't mind them, but I've always found that that John Bon Jovi seems like a nice guy.
He does, and he does a lot of, like, charity work.
Yep, yeah. He does. He married his high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. They're still married. You think about a rocker like that, and mm-hmm. he's still married to his high school sweetheart. They own a restaurant in New Jersey that has something to do with the food pantry where you pay what you think you can pay.
Yeah, if you only have $2, you just pay $2.
And then the money goes to help feed. And, you know, here's a guy that's got all kinds of money, and he's doing something like that. And he said, for the most, it's like an honor system. But for the most part, they have a suggested thing, and people pay over that because they know what the money's going towards. That's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And I've heard that all they play in the restaurant is music by Widespread Panic. You and David should go there.
Done.
Out with the old and in with the new. I love the new year, and I love New Year's resolutions. Well, this year I'm resolving to save some money. And when it comes to buying a new car, well, your local Chevy dealer can save you a lot of dough. Right now, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer has a $1,500 cash back bonus on a 2016 Chevy Cruze Limited. That's a great way to kick off the new year. And the Chevy Cruze has 4G LTE Wi-Fi that turns your Cruze into a mobile hotspot for up to 7 devices. Trust me, the kids are going to love it. You're welcome. Here's another tip. Chevy has a big fixed lease that can cut your car payments big time. Plus, with leasing, you get a new car every 2 years. All the latest technology and safety. How can you beat that? So the choice is yours. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details on how you can save in 2016. And then head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and tell them Lou sent you. 9:52 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Ken in Plainfield. Ken, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I feel like I should say thanks. I got 2 naps and a potty call in while waiting.
You're welcome. Thank you for hanging on.
I have a 3-season sunroom, Lou, and I'm getting up there in years, and it becomes more of a challenge each year putting all that plastic up on the windows.
Yep.
Is there any alternative to that?
So what are the windows now?
They're vinyl.
So they're vinyl single pane?
Yeah, they're single. Well, no, they're actually, yeah, I guess they're single pane, but it's a thick glass.
Okay. And so you put the plastic up there just so you can use that space in the winter?
Right. And so the windows aren't all full of frost, you know, otherwise they just freeze.
Got it. And you do heat that space up to a certain time of year?
When I had our furnace replaced, he ran a heat duct out there, so there's one heat duct, but it really can't warm the room. It
right.
really helps a little bit.
So it just kind of takes the edge off there, so when you're coming in there or whatever, you use it as a mud
right.
room in the wintertime.
And I put my Eden Pure heater out there, and I can survive.
Got it. So the only way you're going to solve that problem is to either go to a thermal pane glass, which even that might still frost up a little bit on you, or use some kind of storm window that you'd put on the inside.
Well, now let me say, a couple of years ago, Lou, I had a company out that I thought was the answer to the problem with these magnetic frames.
Yep.
With heavy plastic, except magnet doesn't hold to the vinyl.
Correct. That's a funny thing about magnets.
Yeah. So I was thinking, is there any way you could attach a metal strip to the inside and then put the magnetic framing to that?
Well, you could do that, or you could do Velcro.
Would Velcro, I think it would hold that, because the windows are...
Are they flat?
They're flat, but...
Is there a frame, let me ask you this, is there a frame that's wider than the window that you could stick something to?
Yes.
Okay, so if that's the case, you could do one or two things. Is that frame white?
Yes.
All right, so 2 things you could do. You could take flat metal stock, okay, like an 1/8-inch flat metal steel stock that's, you know, 1 inch wide,
mm-hmm.
and you could screw that to that frame and paint it white.
Okay.
You wouldn't even know it's there, especially if you made it all consistent going up and down. Then that magnetic window could go there and stick on there.
Right.
Or you could do the Velcro route, which would be more noticeable, and they make that in white also, but it'd be more noticeable. And then you'd put that Velcro on a large sheet that you could just stick up there that would temper that and make it easier for you than doing all this plastic. Then you would cut a few pieces, you'd number them all, you know, because it probably wouldn't be exactly the same, but they'd probably be pretty close.
I'd have to build a frame, you know, wouldn't I? I mean,
on the glass itself.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a little bit of monkeying around, but the metal stock mounted on the frame could work. And if you paint it white and you were good about how you placed it and screwed it on with like a flush countersunk screw, so it's very flush. Once you painted it, you probably wouldn't even know it's there. It would actually have a nice look to it, and painted white, it would just disappear and make life a lot easier. Thanks so much for the phone call. 956.
Happy trails to you.
Thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate you making the Mr. Fix-It Show part of your Saturday. Thank you, Lindsay, for producing, Bob Ferguson for engineering, Veronica for doing the news this morning. Our last caller, sponsored by Townstone Financial, is Joe in Naperville. Hi, Joe. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for hanging on.
Listen, I've got my mother's home, which is a bungalow on the northwest side of Chicago, and I think it's a vintage 1928 construction. And the original water heater, which is a big General Electric thing, it's got to be 60, 80 gallons.
Okay.
Finally gave up the ghost. And it's so big, I can't get it out the door or any of the windows. I think it was put in before, you know, before the doors were framed out.
Right.
How do I dispose of this thing? Can it be taken apart, or is it likely to have asbestos in it?
How old is it?
It's got to be 1928, somewhere between 21 and 28 that house was built.
There's a good chance there's some asbestos lining in it, inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the thing is, if you were going to cut it up, the problem is you really have to be mindful of that, if that's the only way we're going to get it out of the house. Oh, boy, that's a problem. You know, more than likely, whomever's going to come in there, you're going to have to cut it in half and take it apart. Now, depending on how it was assembled, I mean, I'd have to see it, but there might be a cap, or you may be able to take it apart gently and avoid making any dust.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your best bet would be to get... Well, the plumber probably wants nothing to do with it, right?
Well, the guys that I got a guy that does some handyman work for me, and he came in and he installed a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, they tried to get it out the door and they couldn't. One of the things I thought about was maybe we just bust out one of the windows and remove some of the brick and haul the thing out that way, and then just replace that particular window with glass block.
Well, I mean, if that's an option, that's probably your best bet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you just have to be careful. I think that with the asbestos in there, I wouldn't expose it all. I mean, I think that that is that's a problem just from a standpoint of cutting it open and introducing all that dust there. And if it's an option to do that window thing like you mentioned, then that may be the best way to go. Do me a favor. Hang on. I'm going to get you a pair of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, February 13th through the 21st at McCormick Place, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank, member FDIC, and an exclusive bank of the show. Thank you so much for calling today. And the ladies are standing by. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, you know, Lou.
Good morning. And then where do you haul the rusty asbestos-laden old thing?
Well, this is a problem.
It's illegal, isn't it?
Right. You have to dispose of it properly.
You have to have a licensed...
You do, and the thing is, if they can get it out the door, then you can at least get it on the back of a truck and find the place that will take it.
You'll be driving around alone.
No. I mean, you got to set right.
Right.
You don't want to just back up and say, "Oh, look at this empty field," you know. But there are landfills that will take it, but you have to set that up in advance, and then as opposed to having an asbestos abatement person, you still have to pay extra to get rid of it.
It's crazy. It's crazy expensive.
It's, you know what, Kath, it's not as expensive as you think. It's more than just dumping something, but it's not like thousands
like $100?
Of.
Wait a minute. When I was president of the board at Melrose Garden, and Veronica, thank you. We know we're late.
That's all right.
But whatever. we had to put in a new boiler. The
right.
original boiler was 100 years old or
right.
something. I think it cost us between $12,000 and $15,000 for asbestos removal.
Right, to do all the abatement from inside there. Yeah,
gosh.
That's very expensive, correct. But
yeah.
what I'm talking about is if he can take it out in one piece,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a few $100 to dump the thing, no question.
Right.
But it's nasty stuff. There's nothing
yep.
good about asbestos.
Yep. Exactly. No. All right. Well, have a good one, Lou.
You too, ladies.
We're an asbestos-free show.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.